take for granted that you're always there.
Hi, Dr. Evans.
Hi, John.
I know you are extremely busy, so thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really honored to be here with you.
Well, it's to have somebody of your stature in here is exciting for me.
Thank you.
First of all, how do you prefer to be addressed by an undergraduate such as myself? President, Edmondson, Doctor, Professor?
Students usually call me President Edmondson or Dr. Edmondson.
Okay. I prefer Doctor just because if I had a PhD, I'd have T-shirts, I'd be giving everybody business cards, I'd have a vanity plate.
Sure, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. People work hard to earn that title,
yeah,
that's
definitely,
for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. Where did you grow up and go to school?
I grew up in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. So my first home, actually, my grandfather had a farm outside of Harrisburg, and my very first home was a trailer on his farm. That's where my parents first lived when they were married. And then they ended up buying their own house, and we moved across the river closer to Harrisburg.
Right.
And I went to school in that same area.
I heard you say in a speech that you were a first-generation college student.
I am.
And that your parents didn't want you to go to college.
They did not.
Why is that? Was that because of choosing music as a major? Was that part of it, or was there other reasons?
No, I think there were other reasons. I think that my parents really just didn't think a college degree was necessary. They were of the mind that I could get married and have a good life without going to college.
Not necessary, especially for a woman?
Yes, exactly. Right. Thank you for that clarification. That's right.
What age did you start music lessons?
I was 4 years old when I started to play the piano, yes.
And I thought that was unusual that you switched majors. You entered as a music major, which is one step more than a regular freshman declaring. You have to audition.
I had to audition, that's correct.
So you have to be accepted on those grounds.
Yeah.
Why did you change your major?
Well, because my extended family... Again, as a first-generation college student, I don't think my extended family really understood what I would do with a music major. And so there was a lot of pressure for me to either become a teacher or a nurse.
Huh.
And they were worried that if I finished with a piano major that I would be waiting tables in New York City trying to get a piano gig.
Right.
And so that pressure eventually caused me to change to becoming a teacher.
They wanted you to be one of two female traditional occupations.
That's true.
What was I going to say? You still play the piano.
I do.
Do you perform for large audiences at all?
Not for large audiences, but I will tell you that when Megan Marino was here in the month of April, she came for a week. She's one of our esteemed alumna. She's incredible, an opera singer at the Metropolitan Opera in New York and performs all over the world. She was here for a week doing master classes, and she gave two recitals. One of the recitals was at the President's House. And I was so honored because she wanted to play the piano with me. So we did four hands on one piano. We played some Brahms waltzes together, and it was absolutely fun and a hoot. And our piano professor, Laura Cargill, came by and coached us up and gave us some pointers about making sure we didn't embarrass ourselves. So that was a lot of fun, and that's the first time I've performed for an audience in a number of years.
But have you ever performed professionally?
No, I'm mostly it was volunteer. So for example, when my sons were in high school and college, I played the piano in pit orchestras for these theater productions they were part of. And yeah, I've had a lot of fun with it, but not professionally.
Right. Do you think you could have been a professional?
Well, apparently
it's one of those things.
So Dr. Smith was the piano professor who accepted me into his studio when I was a freshman, and he saw potential in me and was encouraging me to think about going on to Eastman to graduate school.
Is that a music school?
It Eastman? Is. Yeah, there's a great music program there. But I don't have any regrets. I still enjoy playing. The piano has been a big part of my life. I take viola lessons and enjoy playing in the orchestra. I haven't been able to play since I've been here in an orchestra, but I enjoy that. So music is something you always have, and I'm really glad for that.
Yeah, definitely. So you have played in an orchestra before?
I have, yes.
Yeah, that must be fun.
It is.
Personally, my favorite music is stride piano, but Do you ever do that?
No, no. No, I mostly play classical music. And
really?
Then, yeah, and then, of course, you know, if I'm in a pit orchestra, I play musicals.
Right. That was my question. What kind of music do you like to play? It's classical?
Yeah, that would be my first choice.
Right. Being a university requires public speaking.
It does.
It does. Mm-hmm. Right. Were you always so comfortable with public speaking? Was it a hard skill to learn? Or?
Yeah, no. It does take practice and strategy. And, I mean, I was always a teacher, so you would think, well, not always, but when I graduated from the university, I was a teacher, so you would think that comes into play. But what I found for a period of time was that teaching, I was never nervous about standing in front of a class and teaching. And really large groups of people, hundreds of people, not nervous because I can't even really see them.
Right.
But for a while, the smaller groups, like 30 to 40 people in a room, sometimes that could be a little nerve-wracking.
Right.
Just because people are right there. And I think of myself more as a writer than a speaker.
Huh.
And so I had to make that transition to really think about public speaking in some different ways.
Right.
But I get lots of practice with it these days.
Well, that's right. I'm sure there's a lot of it. Less than 30% of college presidents are women, which isn't too bad, I guess. Could you talk about the challenges that you might face as a president who identifies as a woman?
Sure.
Which I should have asked you what your pronouns were first.
She and her. Yes, that's right. No, I think you're right. There are unique challenges that women who are leaders in any profession face.
Right.
And I think some of it involves making sure that your voice is heard and that people are taking you seriously. People bring prejudices and biases to all kinds of situations. And so, you really just need to be alert and make sure that you have strategies to make sure that you're able to advance an agenda, that you're able to get problems solved and be respected in spaces that historically have excluded women.
Have you ever had a problem with men saying,
oh, well, yeah.
You smiled.
Yeah, they can't see me smile on the radio.
Right.
Certainly. I mean, I think, over the years I had different administrative roles and in higher education and experienced men speaking over me, what they call mansplaining.
Right.
Men taking credit for my ideas.
You've experienced that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
No, it's not fun.
No, I bet.
Yeah, but again, I mean, we have a lot of work to do, and I'm really proud of the number of women leaders we have here at the University of Southern Maine.
Yep.
And I think it's important for us to really nurture. I want to nurture all leaders, but I have a particular interest in making sure that our women leaders have opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would you say to a young student who wants to achieve your level of academic success? Also, I ask everybody the same question. Is it hard work or talent, or some of both, or luck, hard work, talent, and luck that gets you? Because you've worked hard, obviously, but you must have some talent, and you must have had some luck along the way.
I think you're right. I think it's all three of those things. You do have to work hard, and I think the other thing that really has factored into the work that I do is a really strong commitment to public education and the importance of public education.
Right.
So that conviction that public education is critical to the success of our democracy is something that really drives me.
Right.
And I also always have an interest in learning more. And so the different jobs that I have allow me to just keep learning more and doing more.
Right.
But certainly there is there's some luck involved, too. You know, sometimes the timing of when I think about my first sort of real administrative job. I was an associate dean in the College of Education. The timing was just right.
Exactly.
I just earned tenure. They didn't want somebody in that position who had not earned tenure, so I just earned tenure.
Right.
Somebody retired, and the timing was just right for me to step into that role. So, yeah, there's luck involved, too.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer. I'm Irish. I tend to believe in luck. And I've heard coaches say that so-and-so could have been a professional athlete, but it was just happened. It wasn't. Somebody didn't retire at the right age or whatever, at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Were you always so focused in high school and then college and so obviously you must have been focused to do this.
Yeah.
Did you always plan on achieving this amount of success?
Well, I don't think I ever imagined when I was an undergraduate or when I was in high school that I would be a college president. So, right. But I think what I was focused on was always learning more and doing the very best I could at whatever I was doing. So,
right.
Yes, I think I was focused.
Right.
I was often, you know, pretty serious about what I was trying to do. And, yeah.
Yeah, I think focus is a lot. I find myself enjoying the Dean's List students. Mm-hmm. Being at my age and more than I used to, and I appreciate them, their focus, their seriousness. For those who have tuned in late, this is Passionate People broadcasting from the studio of WMPG 90.9, the voice of USM. My name is John McKinney, and my guest today is Dr. Jacqueline Edmondson, the president of the University of Southern Maine. Dr. Edmondson, why did you want to be a professor as well as president? And are you tenured
yes.
here?
Yes, I am. I'm tenured here. I'm tenured at the rank of a full professor. I wanted to be a professor because I really, when I was in graduate school, I realized how much I enjoyed the university environment and being around people who were really smart and always trying to learn new things
right.
and solve problems. And I also knew that I loved teaching. And so the combination of research, service, and teaching was really appealing to me.
Must be a good break from your presidential duties also to leave your office and go to the classroom.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Although every day is probably different for you, I'm sure it is, and you must have long days.
Mm-hmm.
You work every day.
Yes, I
it's
do.
It's like the farmer. They ask him, do you work every day? Yeah, I work. Yeah. Can you tell us what the day in the life of a university president is like?
Sure. So I think of my work as really focusing on advancing the mission of the university and making the university the very best that it can be. And so I spend my time meeting with people so that I can help to steward and guide the direction of the university. I sometimes have individual meetings, I meet with groups, I meet with my cabinet. I try to make sure during the academic year that I get out so I can talk with students randomly. My husband and I have students come to our house for dinner, during the semester. The students really, really motivate me and help me to keep a focus on
right.
what's most important about this university. So that time with students is critical. But I meet with external folks too, community members, elected officials. I try to make as many connections as I can so that we can keep advancing the work of the university.
So that's a big part of your job, getting out there and meeting people and being the face of the university.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And fundraising is part of that as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been hard, or must have caused you some thought, to take on the leadership of an institution in the middle of major construction projects. That must have been something to at least think about.
Well, I thought it was really exciting.
Really?
I mean, it's clear that the university is on the move. There are great things in this university's future, and
right.
the fact that there was a new residence hall coming online, a new student center, I thought that was really exciting. And the Center for the Arts project is, I think, just going to be absolutely incredible to be part of.
When do they break ground for that?
That'll be in the fall.
It's
coming.
I just noticed the lawn was put in.
I know.
Down there, and it totally different view.
It's incredible. I actually just posted a picture on my Instagram account of the bean green is now green.
Right. I think... it's a great thing, but I think that area on Forest Avenue will develop into maybe small bookstores or bars or something.
Yeah.
Is that reasonable to think that might?
I think it is reasonable to think that. I mean, universities are drivers of economic development
yeah.
in all different kinds of ways, including
right.
the kinds of resources that grow up around a university.
Right.
Yeah.
You mentioned Instagram. Mm-hmm. I noticed Elbow
yes.
has his own, her own, Instagram with 500 followers.
I know. Elbow has more followers than I do.
Really? Well, five times more than I do. First of all, Where'd the name come from?
So my husband just decided when we got the dog. So we got Elbow about a week after we moved to Maine, and he decided that the dog's name was Elbow. He said it's gender neutral, and everybody seems to love the name.
That's true. So when you call him Kamel, Kumbo.
We say Elbow. Sometimes we say Elbow Macaroni. Sometimes we say Elbow Ski. We have little nicknames for her, but yeah.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you how she liked Maine. Gina corrected me on that. I was going to call him a he. How she liked Maine, but...
Yeah, she was born here. She's a Mainer.
Well, there you go.
She was born in Turner, Maine.
Really?
Yes.
So she's a Mainer. She can carry that.
Yeah.
Not that that's any great badge, but, you know. You said something about the direction of the institution and the vision. Is that your vision, or is there a vision made? Is it partly your, do you have your own vision, or is it made up of a board, or how... Who decides, and how is that those decisions made?
Yes, my experience at USM is that it's a very inclusive environment, and people want to participate. So I think it's really important to get input from the community at large on the direction the university is going. But I will say that my goal is to make USM the best public regional institution in the country. And by public regional, it means universities are... much like the history of the University of Southern Maine, started as teachers' colleges, primarily have served the regions in which the university is located. Comprehensive means that there are a wide range of degrees and opportunities for students. Access is an important part of the mission. But I think everything is in place here for us to really take the University of Southern Maine to the next level and really be noted for excellence.
Right. Do you think it's going to grow physically more here than in Gorham?
I think the Gorham campus and the Lewiston campus and the Portland campus are all critically important, and we need to think of them as a whole. And so I think every one of the campus locations has the opportunity to grow.
Huh. I've got a question that bothers me, really. Why are the humanities not as important as they once were? Is it because a humanities degree doesn't put a person on the fast track to a high income? Languages, there's no four-year language program.
Yeah, so I would argue that the humanities are more important than ever.
Yeah.
And I think that the arts and humanities are critical to our understandings of society, of one another. They help you to reflect, to think, to understand how things got to be the way they are, and how we might have a sociological imagination to imagine how the world can be different and better. And so I do think there are a number of reports and documents that are important that have spoken about the importance of the humanities. And I do think there are some people in our country who dismiss the humanities as not important. And so you're right. You're asking a really timely question. But when we think about the value of a university degree and of college education, the humanities are critical to that. And so one of the things that I'm interested in is thinking about how our students can be a polymath, which means they would take a humanities or an arts degree and take a second major in a professional field or the sciences or engineering, so that they're able to engage complex problems and use multiple perspectives in doing so. And so we've been talking about that idea with the faculty, with cabinet, and thinking about the ways some of our majors could be put together so that students could get 2 degrees in 8 semesters. And so you think about like environmental science and the arts and how interesting that combination could be.
Yeah.
And we know that the problems of our society, the problems our students will be engaging in the future, require the ability to think through complexity.
Right.
And so I think coupling the arts and humanities with some of these other degree programs would be really helpful for us. And so that's one of the things we're working on. But I think you're right. And the study of languages is important. I'm really proud of the fact that we have a faculty member here who teaches the Wabanaki language.
Right.
And, you know, we need to think about ways that we can incorporate language into the work that we're doing in the future.
I met him, and I actually questioned the value of that, but that's just me. But I think the world is much smaller than it was, and I think a foreign language would be a good tool in a student's toolbox.
I agree. And languages, when you study other languages, you understand a different worldview or
right.
a different, you know, a different cultural perspective, because even the ways in which language is structured
right.
tells you about the people who use that language.
I have an educational philosophy.
Okay.
I think that the two main things that should be taught, say in high school or whatever, a language and dance, partner dance.
Okay.
I think it would eliminate a lot of bullying, people that wouldn't normally, and everybody would have to dance with it. In dance classes, have you ever taken a dance class?
Yes.
A ballroom class?
Not ballroom, but I've done other dance classes.
In ballroom, when your partner dancing, you switch partners all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be invaluable to teach.
Well, I used to tell my sons when they were growing up that we should sing and dance every day.
Really?
Because I think you just need to find those moments where there's joy. And
yeah.
I think singing and dancing bring that.
Yeah, I think so. Is the university president's position very political? It seems like you have to juggle many competing interests. Is that right?
That is true. There are many competing interests, both from within and out and from outside the university.
Really?
Yes.
Like what are some of the...
Well, I mean, so... We have a board of trustees, we have elected officials, we have people who are donors to the university.
Right.
Everybody brings a perspective on what the university can be or what
right.
it should be doing. And so I feel it's really important to listen to those different perspectives and to find a pathway forward.
So part of your job, a big part of your job is bringing people together and kind of balancing it.
Yes, that's
balancing
correct.
Balancing everybody.
Yes, that's correct.
Have you ever fired anybody?
Yes.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
As a professor? Or?
I can't talk about it
well,
that
no,
too much.
I don't want the details. Just surprised
no,
that you have.
Not as a professor,
right.
because professors, I didn't have people reporting to me when I was a professor, but when I moved into administrative jobs, yes.
Huh. That must have been hard.
It is. Yeah. It's very hard to do because you realize the impact that it has on somebody's
right,
life.
Right.
Yeah.
You've written more than a few books. We're kind of jumping around here.
Okay.
I'm a jumper. Mostly biographies of famous people.
Yeah.
Venus and Serena Williams, Jerry Garcia, Jesse Owens, and John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that interests you about writing biographies, and how do you pick your subjects?
Yeah. So I find life stories to be interesting. I love to hear people's stories and to understand the time periods in which they lived and the kinds of challenges they faced and have overcome. And so for a while I was writing, those biographies were intended for high school students and for general readers. And I was working with a publisher at Greenwood Publishing. And so they would come to me with a list of people they needed to have biographies about, and
that's pretty cool.
And then we would talk about which one I might be best suited to write. Yeah, I really enjoyed those projects. And at the time I was writing those books, my sons were in high school, and their friends would come by, and we would talk about the books and the projects and what they would want to read and how they want me to treat difficult things like, you know, Jerry Garcia's drug use and other things, you know, other challenges that the subjects
cool.
faced.
Yeah, that sounds like a whole perfect storm situation.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So how do you treat Jerry Garcia's drug use?
Well, when I talked with my sons and their friends about it, they said, just tell us about it and tell us how he died.
Right.
And, you know, just don't hold anything back. I mean, the job is not just to make, I mean, he was brilliant. He was a brilliant
right.
musician, one of the best guitar players, I would argue, in the history of American music. But he had, you know, he had some demons too.
Right.
And so
yeah.
they wanted to know the whole story.
A lot of people that like rock and roll don't like country.
Yeah.
I just tell them Jerry Garcia was a bluegrass player.
Yeah, he was.
As much as he was, well, not as much because he didn't make as much money, but
yeah.
he was also a bluegrass player.
He was.
I question the importance of online degrees. Would you consider an online degree as valuable as a traditional classroom earned degree?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question, because both can be done poorly and both can be done well.
I suppose.
So it really
depends on the
quality. And I think the other thing about online degree programs that we need to be attentive to is making sure that students have the full college experience. An online degree should not just be about taking courses.
Right.
It should be about having internships, student clubs and organizations, affinity groups, and ways to get together and be connected with other students and with faculty and staff. And so if it's done well, I think it can be absolutely, you know, just as valuable.
Really?
But again, the in-person college experience can be done poorly. So we have to be attentive to both and make sure that everything that we're, you know, offering just the very best programs we can.
You don't think it's a case of dumbing down?
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
Mm-mm. It shouldn't be.
We're running out of time, Dr. Edmondson. I have one question that you questioned. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Anything else I'd like to add?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think I hope the listeners are having a really wonderful summer and enjoying some time away. And I've enjoyed getting to know you today. So thank you again for having me here.
Well, thank you. You're the BWOC. Instead of the big man on campus, you're the big woman on campus.
Okay. Thank you.
And I want to ask this question anyway. You probably can't answer it in the time we have, but hopefully this will never happen, but we know it could happen here. And some schools have begun to use active shooter drills, mm-hmm. like fire drills. Does USM have a prepared response to an active shooter situation?
Yes, I mean, we have a crisis management team. We've hired a new police chief who's just absolutely fabulous, and she might be somebody you'd want to bring in to interview, and she could talk a little bit more about her plans in that space. I think we can never be too prepared.
Right.
I would like to live in a world where we didn't have to think about those things, but that's not where we are right now. But yes, I think the new police chief, Grainne Perkins, would be great for you to meet.
Yeah, that's true. This is called passionate people, and I try to interview people who are passionate about what they do.
Yeah.
Which obviously you are, to achieve that much success in your field. Well, thank you for joining me for this conversation. It means a lot to me that you're here. Very exciting to have somebody of your stature join me as a guest.
Thank you.
That's it. The show is Passionate People, broadcasting at WMPG 90.9, the voice of USM. My name is John McKinney, and my guest has been Dr. Jacqueline Edmondson. Hasta la vista. Thank you, Dr. Edmondson.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you.